And so he said, he asked the question, but, right, even with regard to this anti-supernatural and anti, you know, predictive prophecy in these presuppositions, is Scripture's teaching about itself credible? And so he says, consider first, no other doctrine is compatible with absolute personality theism. So this, he's already made an argument with this particular position, right? If God is a person who speaks with absolute authority, then he reveals himself with nothing less than supremely authoritative speech or writing. And so if God revealed himself in such a way that we could freely criticize his words and believe something else instead, then he would not be the God revealed in Scripture. One does not talk back to the biblical God. His word, he tells us, has supreme authority, right?
Right. So, and again, do you want to ask me to present to you an argument that says the creator, there is a being who created everything, who tells us what we should do, how we should live, how to get right with him, how to have our sins forgiven. And he's communicated it to us in certain ways. But, you know, I also want to believe that he's unable to preserve his word. And so I'm going to give you a very mashed potato version of the authority of Scripture. Well, no, you would attack that. You would want to say, well, how can we believe in a God who claims to save us from our sins if he can't even preserve his own word? So that's allegedly happened. And so, you know, here are our inner dialogues with Muslims. We offer that same critique. You know, Allah is so far above himself. He's unable to be even held to his own words. And so he lets corruption take place in the Tanakh. Takes place in the Injil. And then why can't that happen with the Quran or even the way of salvation there? And so,
yeah.
Here we're holding people to the standard that they claim to, and we would want that same authority claim to us, or it'd be easy to attack it if you held it a different way. But it seems like if you want to place at the table, then you say, well, the Bible is interesting, but it's definitely not the word of God. And just as it cannot be disproved by something else of greater authority, so it cannot be proved in such a way. God's word, like himself, must be supremely authoritative and therefore self-attesting, right? On the conventional wisdom, the biblical doctrine of Scripture is implausible. But if you presuppose a Christian worldview, no other doctrine of revelation is conceivable.
Exactly. So first, no other doctrine is compatible with, the absolute personality theism that he's been defending. Secondly, like all other biblical teachings, the doctrine of Scripture will be credible to you if the Holy Spirit opens your mind to it. Otherwise, he tells us it won't be, right? As we might expect, faith in an absolute personality is a supernatural gift, right? So that's the second point that he wants us to see. And then thirdly, he says, this doctrine was taught by many different biblical authors from many different times and settings, with many different strengths and weaknesses. And so none of them found fault with the Bible. All accepted it as their covenant constitution, right? So here God has made a covenant, an agreement, and he's written it out. And now all of these folks, you know, from various places during various times, all have accepted this as their agreement, their covenant constitution, a written constitution for those that have made, that God has made an agreement with.
Right.
It's the idea of a covenant constitution.
You don't see the Old Testament writer saying, thus saith the Lord, if you do this, then I will do this. If you don't, you'll fall into a wicked perversion. You'll eat your children and you'll be carried away by outside conquerors. Well, but God didn't really say that. This is just kind of like our understanding. No. They took very seriously what Scripture said, and when they didn't, the repercussions occurred. And so we always had the reference to a remnant returning back to or always holding on to and then returning back to in those times of fulfillment after the rebellion period. And the holding on to that thus saith the Lord is still accurate, is still there. People might have gone away from it, but they still viewed it as authoritative, and they built Asherah poles and established other false gods alongside the real God, not in replacement to him, but into addition to him. And that's where we get a lot of issues when we read an Old Testament scripture. All right, but above all, this doctrine was taught by Jesus, by the apostles whom he appointed to communicate his teaching, and by the prophets of the Old Testament who anticipated his coming. And we'll turn to Michael J. Kruger and Andreas Kossenberger in Authority of Scripture, I think, is one of their books. I'll put it up here, where they talk about how the continuation of the New Testament authors to write Scripture is almost necessitated from the Old Testament, and how it is viewed in covenant with them. That was an interesting book to go over. I might have gotten those mixed up. I know Michael J. Kruger is one of the authors. But thus, Scripture is a necessary element in a great drama of redemption. The credibility of that redemption validates the Scriptures, and vice versa.
Yeah, good. And so what he's suggesting here is that there are reasons to buy that Scripture itself argues for its own credibility. And as Christians, you know, as we walk into this and presuppose it, then it kind of verifies itself. The reason that you can presuppose that it's not credible, and that you can have a naturalistic, rationalistic presuppositions. And then, of course, you have to come up with all kinds of ways to explain away what Scripture has to say.